the Naked Love Podcast with Theo Manderson
and Kaffee, aka A Cup of Kaffee.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Naked Love Podcast by Premier Gospel. My name is Kaffee, aka A Cup of Kaffee.
And I'm Theo Manderson, and as the title says, we're getting naked with love.
With love. Thank you guys for rocking with us. You guys know we've already covered so much on the Naked Love Podcast, from boundaries to marriage to sex toys to intimacy. You guys know the deal. If you're thinking about it,
we are talking about it. That's what we do here. Yes. At Premier Gospel on the Naked Love Show. That's what we do here. Me and Kaffee, each and every week, we just get involved in your relationship. In fact, we get to know your business. We just get nosy.
Yes,
we chat about your business. We just expose it.
Yep.
We bring it from the quiet, yep, from the dark to the light.
Yes, that's
a little
script.
That's a little preaching there, isn't it? That's a little preaching moment there, isn't it?
From the dark.
Hallelujah.
To the light. And we really want to hear from you guys. So please feel free to get in touch with any of your relationship dilemmas, queries, questions, whatever it is. And each episode, we're going to be dipping into the emails and picking one to discuss. So please send them to studio2@premier.org.uk. That is studio2@premier.org.uk. And of course, you can get in touch with us via the socials. You can find us at Premier Gospel across the board, or also use the hashtag Naked Love Podcast.
Yes, definitely. And thank you all that's been sending in your messages. We've seen all your messages responding to the videos, and thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Been very encouraging. Yes,
thank
and I know
you.
I need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. I think Jesus says I need him too, so it's all good. That's what the common theme has been coming back. This guy needs Jesus, but it's all good.
Keep reffing. So, it's that time of the week.
That's right.
NL Street.
Ooh, what are we going to be doing this week?
This week on NL Street.
Jason, I really think you should sign up to that new gym up the road, you know?
Nah.
Why not?
Well, they're just a load of blokes showing off with their weights and staring at themselves in the mirror. Not my thing.
Well, you don't have to do that. You can join me on the treadmill.
No, thanks. I do enough walking around during the day. I'm good.
Okay, but don't you think you've put on a bit of weight lately?
Yeah, so I'm comfortable.
Okay, I just thought maybe you'd want to lose it.
Come on, Jade, spit it out. You don't like how I look.
It's not that. I mean, I just thought you preferred how you looked when we got married. That's all.
And what about how you looked when we got married? We both put on some weight, but I don't pull you up on it.
Whoa. All right, Jace. No need to be like that. Gosh. So what are you trying to say? You're not attracted to me?
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Okay, well, do you like the way I look?
Isn't it you who always says that the beauty is on the inside?
Huh? I've only put on a few pounds, Jason. Jeez.
Look, we should both be taking care of our appearances. Weight, hair, clothes. It's important.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm saying we should go to the gym.
More from NL Street next week.
So today we're going to be talking about appearance. I think Jade bit off a bit more than she could chew when she asked that question. And then Jason flipped it onto her.
Yes. And you see how she changed.
Mm-hmm. She's like, what are you trying to say? Yeah. You don't love me no more.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't even say that. You just said you put on a bit of weight, but now it's all a bit. But hey, a woman's prerogative, as they say.
Yes. So, I mean, summer is here. The weather's been amazing. I know we've had a few days of rain. For the most part, the weather's been amazing.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, people tend to think more about their appearance when summer's here, when the weather's good outside. So the question is your own appearance important to you?
Me? Well, I always want to make sure my hair is always done, fresh trim and that.
Okay.
What's left of it? Nails, do you make sure your nails are done? Are you one of those nails girls? Do you have nice nails?
I like when my nails are done, but the fat is just too much sometimes. So I haven't done them for a while. Well, since COVID, I used to get them done a lot. But since COVID, I've been letting them roam free right now.
Okay.
So yeah, I haven't done them in a while, but I should go do them, to be honest.
Yes, you should. Iron. I like my shirts to be ironed. I'm a stickler for ironing clothes. My gran raised me that way. My gran needs to So make sure your clothes are ironed in a boy. Make sure the seam them sharp. And you say your uncle, when he was younger in the mix, every trousers was sharp and the seam was sharp. So she's kind of drilled that into me. So yeah, clothes must be ironed. I don't
That's
like that
good.
Fashion, but they say you don't iron. Know the fashion, that crumpled up fashion what they had a few years ago when no one would iron their clothes.
Yeah, and I think fashion is individual. I mean, I wish, you know, I didn't even have to think about what we had to wear. Honestly, I would love clothes to not have, like, I would love to not even have to think about clothes. But I think it is, you know, I appreciate when people are into fashion. I appreciate when people look nice. I feel like I don't always have the time to do it. So when I'm working with a stylist or something, that's amazing, because I just like, you just take care of it. Like, just do your thing. Tell me what to wear. Like you said, you were influenced by your grandma growing up, and a lot of us are actually influenced by who we see around us.
Yes,
like
definitely.
Some of these babies, you see babies wearing designer clothes 24/7. Do you know what I mean? So of course they're going to grow up and feel like, I need to be in designer clothes to look good. And it's funny because, you know, things like even like wearing perfume and taking care of our hair, things like that, when you grow up. And I remember really, my mum would always wear like really strong perfumes, and they were really nice, but they would always make me sneeze.
Okay.
So when I grew up, I kind of just had this thing that, oh, I think I'm allergic to perfume or something. So I would use deodorant, but I didn't really like to use perfumes because I just had this thing that, oh, they make me sneeze.
Yeah.
But I think it was obviously maybe just the type of perfume, or maybe it was just too much at the time. Red Door was one. She loved Red Door.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember who makes that, but yeah. The Red Door.
I like cologne. I've always liked cologne. When I was growing up, my uncles used to have lots of cologne on their table, and I still try to aspire to get as many as that, but I haven't gotten there yet. So that's a hint for the children, my children listening, my wife, get me some more cologne, please, aftershave. Please, thank you very much.
You heard the man.
Yeah,
you heard him.
I'm putting out a request there, so yeah. But yeah, but I remember I was influenced by different people as well. Growing up as a young boy, you look around and see different fashions, you see different guys, and I like the way that guy dressed, because I didn't have a father at home, so you kind of look outside at different guys. I didn't look at any in the church because they just dressed boring, because I never saw them in regular clothes. I never saw them in suits, so just regular clothes. So you see the older guys wearing certain jeans and certain trainers, they say, yeah, those trainers look cool, and yeah, when I get big I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. So yeah, definitely. And I think I don't think anything's changed. I think we're still kind of influenced the same way by people, because now it's just TV influences us more than our surroundings. When I was younger, when I was at school, fashion wasn't as important. It was cool, but it wasn't like how it is now. You know, if you didn't have it, you didn't have it. As long as your clothes were clean and tidy, you had on a pair of jeans, it was all right. But if you had a little bit of money, then yeah, you could be a bit more fashionable if you had it. I thought I was a bit trendy. I was trying to be a trendy guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I was a bit trendy.
You know.
I was trying to be trendy, one of the guys. And I was a bit of a loud boy at school. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
As a teen, who were you attracted to? And do you remember what your first boyfriend looked like? Was he trendy, fashionable?
I didn't have a boyfriend at school. No,
hey,
joke.
Good girl. Focus.
I went to a girl's school. I went to a girl's school.
What about weekends and evening? No?
Nope.
Ah.
I didn't have any boyfriends at school, no.
Oh, gosh. This girl.
Nope. Ah. How about you?
Well, my first girlfriend, she was cool. Yeah, I wouldn't say trendy or anything, but she was cool.
And what first attracted you to your spouse, Theo? I know you previously said it was the way you remember, you said, you saw her walking across the road one time, you know. So would you say it was like instant physical attraction?
When I first met my spouse, my wife, I was 15. So yes, it was instant attraction.
What? You guys met at the age of 15?
Yeah, I was 15. She's 16. Yeah. I met her first when I was 15. 1988.
Wow. So you lived your whole life and she was in it, or you knew about her, but you didn't get married to her until much later on in life.
Yeah, we didn't hook up or go out or anything until 15 years later.
Wow, that's lovely.
Mm.
See, when someone's for you, they will not pass you by. Anybody who's watching, anybody who's thinking, God, when am I going to meet my person?
Sometimes you met the person. They're there. It's just timing. It's just all God's timing.
Yeah, sometimes they're already... So yes. They may already be in your life.
Yeah. A lot of the times they say people meet people in their, 6 degrees of separation, and somebody you know from a while back, or somebody you might have met, or you never even take much notice of them 10 years ago, and then all of a sudden they come back into your life, you're like, oh, it's you, okay, and you click. So yeah, that's pretty much how it went. Yeah,
nice. So I love that. And would you say your wife is your type?
Yeah, else it wouldn't be my wife.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting, because I've heard a lot of people say they didn't get married to their type. That, they thought they had a type.
What do you mean?
Until they
physically,
met their wife
physically,
or their husband.
Do you mean physically or mentally?
Yeah, physically.
Physically, yes.
Physically?
Yeah, physically, definitely.
Okay. Wow, that's good.
But we're totally opposite when it comes to our outlook on certain things, on lots of things. I'm a bit out there. She's very grounded.
For me, it was more... I always said I didn't have a type. Like, I always felt like I didn't have a type, and I knew I didn't like handsome guys, because I always thought that really handsome guys are like players. They're just, they don't stay faithful. They're this, they're that. Hey, you know,
so
I always
sweet boys,
looked
man.
More for personality, and I always used to say that, oh, I'm a sapiosexual. I'm this. I'm that.
You're
like,
what,
I don't
sexual?
Really care about someone's appearances, and of course. Sapiosexual, someone who's attracted to the mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So I would always say that. And, I was very suspicious of handsome guys. And I remember when I met my husband, I thought, gosh, he's really handsome. But I was like, I ain't got time for these guys who he just, he's obviously going to be a player. He's going to be this. He thinks he's too nice. It's funny because, Poor handsome people, or handsome men, or beautiful women, people have make so many assumptions about you. Like, how do you know that the person thinks they're too nice? How do you know that the person thinks she's sexy? How do you know? Do you know what I mean? But you just see a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, and you just be like, she thinks she's too nice. He thinks he's too nice. Do you know what I mean? Poor things. Like, leave them alone. Like, let them live.
And you know what? They don't. And most of those people don't actually think that way. When you actually speak to them or you meet them, they don't actually think that way. Because no one actually thinks that they're beautiful. Well, I don't know. So people that do tend not to be that beautiful. I'm the hottest. And you're like, really? You're not that? You're not that nice. But hey.
Calm down.
Yeah, really, just back off.
Honestly, I feel like it's the world's projection. So somebody might see someone who's really beautiful, feel a bit intimidated by that, and then lock off the communication or the relationship or the possibility of a relationship, whether that's friendship, whether that's romance or whatever it may be, they lock it off immediately. And that's what I would do. I would see someone who's really handsome trying to, get my number or something. And I'd be like, oh please, you probably asked how many girls' numbers today. Do you know, I was the worst.
I could imagine. So, I could imagine, Kathy. I could imagine.
And now, honestly, I still look at my husband, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so hot. Like, you're so sexy. Like, so it's funny because I never would have thought I would get with someone who's typically considered handsome or typically who, I just thought, okay, do you know what I mean? But his personality as well also helped me fall even more. And it helped me get past my initial things of, oh, you think you're too nice because you're handsome or you look good. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's important.
So that really, really
it's
helped.
Important. They say beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So you might think your husband's the sexiest man on the planet. And then somebody else goes, no. He's all right.
That's your business. Keep there. You better say he's all right. Leave it to me. Don't you worry about that, darling. For me, like my previous relationships before that, we were friends before.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That's how I didn't meet them thinking, are they attractive? Are they sexy? Yeah. Are they this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
met as friends.
Yeah.
We became friends and then relationships formed.
Okay.
So I didn't have the space to be thinking, do I like them? A few people that I've been on dates with, I've thought, I'm not that attracted to them physically, but let me go on a date. Let me see how I feel. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But my husband, no, I thought he was handsome the minute I saw him. I thought, gosh, he's fine, baby. He's fine.
So he just broke down all your barriers, your boundaries.
Listen.
Everything. You're like, I don't business.
Trust me.
I don't business.
I found him so sexy. I still find him so sexy. But yeah.
That's good. That's good. You're supposed to. So is there a difference between lust and an attraction? To me, there is. But is there a difference for you?
Yeah, I think lust is when you're just thinking of them one way. Like you either want to physically be with them. That's the only way. You're not thinking about who is this person? What is behind the looks? What is behind the eyes that you might be falling in love with? What is behind, you know, the body, the physique? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like lust is more, it's more about what you can get from the person physically.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas attraction is like, I think it's deeper. I do think it's deeper. I think it's deeper because you could be attracted to somebody and really just want to get to know them. Like, you just want your souls to intertwine. Like, that. Honestly, that's how I felt about my husband. I just really wanted to know, like, what's this guy's, like, what's up with him? What's his deal? I want to really get to, I was really drawn to him. That's what I would call it, attraction, like being really drawn to somebody. Mm. How about you?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Lust, I've been in a few lustful relationships. So yeah, lust is definitely that. You're not really interested in what they're thinking and all that other bits and pieces. You don't really, the only thing you want to do when you spend time with each other is just be naked. So you want to know everything about the person. You want to know everything, what they take, what they eat, what they do, all different things. But lust, you're just interested in just literally, I see you, you see me, and it's on. That's it. There ain't nothing else going on.
It's on. Let's get it on.
And people mustn't get confused between lust and attraction. Don't think lust is love. Because I know people get into relationships because their physical side is really great and it's all fantastic. But that person isn't going to now transform into your partner or your, you know, your significant
Mr.
other.
Mr. Right.
Or Mr. Right or Miss Right or whatever you want to. Doesn't mean that. I know many people in relationships like that, they're in there, oh, but you don't know him, he's so this, he's so gentle, he's so kind. I say, maybe in the bedroom he's that way, but I haven't physically seen it when he's talking to you or anything else. There isn't any softness, kindness, lovingness there.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And sometimes because the physical is there, you just ignore everything else, you ignore all the other red flags, and that's the power of postponing physical relation.
That's right.
And
that's
postponing
getting
too physical too fast, because once the physical enters, again, if you're someone who's, like we spoke about love languages before, if physical touch is one of your love languages and this person is giving you that physical touch, you're just going to be like, oh, you know, he's amazing. You're going to ignore the fact that he doesn't check on you. You go home, he doesn't check on you. He doesn't call you until the next day. The booty link up is coming.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're going to ignore all of that. Yeah. You're like, oh, but he always wants to see me. He really cares about me. Yeah, he always wants to see you because he wants to get something from you.
At 10 o'clock
at night.
Do you know
what I mean? Preach. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, make sure you check yourself.
The Bible says about lust, Matthew 5:28. It says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Mm-mm.
That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world.
Amen to that.
And that's a hard one because I really didn't understand. Because I think even as a married man or woman, you can still see somebody and appreciate
that person
is beautiful or that person
beauty is
handsome.
Beauty, man.
You will still notice the minute you get married, your attraction receptors don't just turn off.
No, not at all.
They don't just turn off. This is why I'm so, you know, fiercely protective of, you know, don't put yourself in certain situations, don't allow footholds or strongholds to enter, because you're not, we say in Nigeria, body no be firewood. Like,
hey,
your body's not
like
firewood.
That.
Like, you are a living human breathing being.
I love that.
Body no be firewood.
I like that literally.
So don't even test yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it is important that we that we realize and we acknowledge it, you know. Sometimes just that's why I've heard somebody say that the first time you look at a girl, well, he was talking about men, like, for example, a woman goes past and you think, she's nice. The first time you look at her, okay, she passed you, fine. When you look again, then it becomes lust because you're there. You're now searching for more. You're like, okay, do you know what I mean?
No. You could be checking to see.
I'm not saying if you're having a conversation, don't look at her. I'm talking about someone. And I remember one time an ex of mine, we were in church, mm-hmm. and this girl with a really big bum walked past.
Hey,
like, she had a huge bum.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him look at her, and then he looked again, and then he realized that I saw him looking again. And I was like, it's okay. Yeah, I know it's big. But I just realized, hold up a minute. He was blatantly lusting after that girl in front of me. And I was like,
He's lusting. He's looking.
No, hey. Come on. He looked once.
Come on.
And he went back and looked for again.
Because you can't.
That to me is lust. No,
because
sorry.
He's not believing what he's seen. Because he might. Huh?
He walked past us.
Yeah.
She walked past us. We were going in a different direction.
I would be looking like.
Fair enough. She walked past us.
And
you saw the bum, okay. And then you're now continuing to look for the bum again.
Yeah.
You saw it once.
Ah, come on.
That's enough.
Me and my wife, we'll be out and we see someone. I go, oh my gosh, look at that girl's bum or look at her breasts or whatever. I will blatantly say, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that. Yeah. Because sometimes it's like, is that yours or did you buy it? Or is that God's given or what? I'm surprised.
Well, that's
because sometimes she was saying to me, did you see that woman or did you see that man or whatever? I'd be like, no, I didn't see who. And I'd be looking around.
Yeah. You can have those combos, but I don't know. So I feel you know when it's lust. I feel you know when it's lust. There's a difference between that. Oh my gosh, has she got her body done or has he got this? Or I don't know. But I feel like, no, now I look back on that situation. I think, no, that
you
was
think
disrespectful.
He was lusting.
That was actually disrespectful. You were blatantly with me in church.
Yeah, in church. He was
in church.
The sister was.
Come on.
The sister was parading.
Pretend at least. Yeah, she was dressed actually very provocatively for church.
She came in for
but,
somebody.
You know,
man.
that's.
He might be with her now. He might be with her now.
Nah, impossible.
Why? You don't know.
Impossible.
Why?
Impossible.
He liked what he saw, man.
No, there's no way.
He liked.
Well, good for him. I heard. Yeah, good for him. If so, why are you trying to trigger me today?
Hey, I just asking. But why would he be upset? You're not with him. So what's the problem? Let him be free.
No, I wouldn't be upset. But I don't think there's any possible way that they could have ever even interacted. But anyway, who knows? But do you think that physical attraction should play a part in our pursuit of a boy or boyfriend, girlfriend, or a spouse?
For me, yes. For me.
Okay, for you.
I've got to be physically attracted to you to say I'm going to be with you. Because, your mind is great. We can sit down and talk. And that's it. We're going to sit down and talk because I'm not physically attracted to you. So I'm not going to be aroused by you. I'm not going to be excited by you. I'm just want to talk to you. And that's not going to work for me. So it's important for me that I'm physically attracted to you.
I think 100%. I think, and again, having met my husband, I realized, yes, like God wants us to physically desire our spouses.
Because you will go out.
He wants us to be with people we physically desire. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like I once upon a time, I probably would have said, no, it's all about the heart. The heart matters, the heart that counts. And yes, the heart counts, the mind counts, the behavior counts. But geez, you want to look at your husband or you want to look at your wife and think, wow,
yeah.
Lord, you made that.
Mm-hmm.
You made that.
For me.
Just for me.
For me. Oh,
you know?
That's right. And that's why I said it. Because what will happen if you're not physically attracted to them, you'll be physically attracted somewhere else. Just like your ex was physically attracted to the lady's big bum. You'd be attracted to somewhere else. Okay, my partner, they've got a great mind. My wife's got a great mind. She's this, she's that. But yeah, she's not that sexy. Yeah, it's okay. But her friend now, or that woman down the road, yeah. So I will talk to her and I go down there later.
Oh gosh, God forbid. I hope none of us will be in that situation.
But that's what
will
happen.
But it's true. And this is the thing. Your partner may not be the sexiest person in the world. There will always, I think there's always going to be, there's people who are handsomer or more attractive than my husband. There will always be someone who is more this or more that. But once you've made that choice and you know, okay, I am attracted to my husband. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my man. That's him. That's me for done for life by God's grace. Do you know what I mean? Nothing will, you know, till death do us part, literally. Yep, yep. But I really feel like this whole thing of thinking, oh, I need to be holier than thou. It doesn't matter about appearances. I think that people should be open to somebody who they don't, who doesn't necessarily meet their specifications, their spec or whatever initially, because there's certain people you could really miss out on just because he doesn't have, I don't know, he doesn't have a beard. Let's use beard. I know some girls are very strict about that. Any man can grow a beard.
Well, yeah, yeah. Most men.
A lot of men can. So imagine you skip your husband because when you met him, he doesn't have a beard and a beard is on your list. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes these things happen. Or, yeah, you know, some women, a man might say, oh, I want a woman with thick hips and thighs, but this woman that I'm dating doesn't have that. But then she gives birth to your baby 10 years down the line. You don't know this at the time. And then all of a sudden thick hips come. I don't know. But all of these things can be fickle.
Yeah.
So I feel like attraction needs to be both physical, definitely, and also mental, because
definitely.
I feel like the mental heightens the physical attraction. Like when I see my husband pray, oh my gosh, it drives me. I'm just like, you are so hot. Like, I love a praying man. He knows this. I'm like, I love a man who prays. Like,
but it's important. It's important. And if someone is ticking off lists, get rid of it, man. The list mashes up people. Like, you had your list. This man's pretty man. I don't go for them. Your husband comes in. You threw the list out. Because
yeah, but I do think lists can be useful. Because there is a lot that I had on a list. I don't know where the list is now, but I just remember writing down what I wanted in a husband. And yeah. I didn't make reference to it when I met my husband. But later on, I was like, wow, like, God actually fulfilled so much without me even realizing it. Like, I wanted a man who was this, I wanted a man who was that, and my husband was all of them. So actually I feel like it can be testament to God's goodness that, you know, you wrote down stuff. But there's certain things you just need to be open, have a list. If you want to have a list, have it there, but be open to God, you know, doing his thing.
Have a list for red flags. Just a red flags list. If they, you know, overly aggressive when they're doing certain things, or, you know, do a reference. What were they, especially if they've been married before or they got a previous partner? Hey, what happened with the previous girl? Oh, she was crazy. Okay, keep that in mind. Why was she crazy? Because nobody's unless she had mental health issues. Did you make her crazy?
True.
Did you do
true?
Because someone, you know, she was crazy. She was this. She was that. Most people are not that way inclined unless somebody's pushed them that way. So those little things are little red flags that you can have in your mind to say, okay, maybe did this, or not saying that they did, but a lot of the times it's always the other person that's pushed somebody to do something to make them go crazy.
I would agree and disagree, okay. because there was one thing that I always hated when I was single, when people would be like, oh, so why are you single then? And I'm like, what do you mean, why am I single? Like, it makes it feel as though any broken relationship or any, like, if you're single, it's your fault somehow.
I don't think if you're single,
it doesn't mean, or if your past partner, it didn't work out with them. It's not necessarily I drove them to be crazy or I drove them to do something wrong. We just weren't compatible.
Sometimes, okay. Those ones are different. But when a guy or someone says, oh, my last partner, they were mad or they were this or they were that, it's like, why were they like that? Were they like that when you met them? Because obviously, if you separated or we just didn't work out, that's different. You just didn't work out. We weren't compatible. That's fine. When someone tells you, oh, they were crazy or they were this, you have to say, okay. I don't know the other person, but there's got to be more to that story than she was just crazy or he was crazy.
Yeah, right?
Because you didn't meet them that way and you were together for a while.
True.
So obviously they weren't always crazy. So yes, but don't get in a list of, oh, the man should have this or the man should have that or the woman should have this. Because you know what? Life changes, man. People change. They might not be earning the big money now, but you don't know what the person's going to be earning in 5 years' time. And the person that's earning the big money now in 5 years' time, I might not be earning any money.
Yeah, I didn't have anything financial down on my list, actually.
Yeah, but people tend to, they need to have this, they need to have that, and buy such, I'm like, yo, get rid of that, man. You don't know what's happening in that person's life, why they're here. Just deal with the person that's standing in front of you. Do you get on with them? Are you attracted to them? Do they make you laugh? Can you speak to each other?
Exactly. That's important. That's the kind of list you should make.
Yeah, not about...
I do feel that's a good kind of list. Yeah. Like, the person is kind, who, you know, loves my family. Or, do you know what I mean? Those are the kind of
things
on your list.
Those are the foundations that you're going to build your relationship on, not on those other bits.
So, a question for you, Theo.
Okay, go on then.
As the man of the house.
Yes, hallelujah. Man of the house.
You know, there's a lot of emphasis now on makeup. And we've seen all these videos of women, you know, transforming, you know, starting one way, then transforming with makeup and looking a whole completely different way. Is makeup something that is really important to you?
No. Not at all. I don't mind it. But when you've transformed your whole being, I've seen a guy transform into a woman on the screen.
What?
And I was like, oh my gosh, he put on the makeup and everything. And I was like, this is problems. Thank you, Lord, I'm married. But
wow,
I think if you've transformed your look, that means you are, you know, women always talk about they want men that's truthful and all these things. But then you are standing in front of me and you're lying to me.
Because of makeup, come on.
But what you've transformed your whole face. So when you take off the makeup, you've got, you know, your skin is blotchy or you've got dark rings or, you know, you've gone from dark to
that
light skin or something like that. You know, you just got a complete different face. Like, who are you? Like a whole new
I think beards do the same for men though.
But a beard is, but you can still see the face.
No, but beards, oh my gosh, they completely transform a man's face.
Yeah, but it's not, a beard's not going to come off and be in the morning and be like, who are you? The beard's still going to be there in the morning. When a woman takes off her makeup, you go home and then they see her without the makeup, you're like, who are you? Hello?
Have you met before?
Can I help you? I'm going to call the police now because there's a strange woman in my house.
I heard that. I mean...
I don't mind it.
I think it's important. I think it's nice to look after yourself.
Yeah, and definitely, definitely.
You know, to make that effort. Like, I have dark rings underneath my eyes. Like, whether it's hereditary, natural, or whether it's because of no sleep, I don't know. But I think it's nice to basically give a bit of both.
Yeah,
or don't
definitely.
Go over the top. No. Don't go over the top. Like, when I first met my husband, he met me in my natural state. Some days I wore makeup, some days I didn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's important so that it's not, you're not holding up this false image or only one image, because both of them are still the person.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say makeup is false. It, you know, it just accentuates. That's what good makeup is meant to do. It's meant to accentuate what is already there.
Yes.
And, you know, my husband sees me in all sorts of ways.
Okay. When it comes to makeup, I ask this to a lot of women. I bet when you're dressed up, you don't get as much attention as when you're dressed down, like without the makeup. More guys are attracted. I've asked many women this and they say guys hit on them when they're not looking as good. They're in the shop, you run down and you've got on your, you know, you've got your curlies in your hair and all that. And guys be like, hey, and they want to chat you to them. And you're like, oh my gosh, why is the guy want to talk to me? Look, I look rough.
I haven't had that experience. I feel like I have this conversation with my brother as well. My brother is, well, one of my brothers always goes on about how he doesn't want girls. Like, he just likes the natural look. Don't put weave in your hair. Don't wear makeup. But then I will show him a picture of a girl and be like, oh, do you think she's attractive? And he'll be like, yes, when she's blatantly got loads of makeup on, fake hair, fake body, all of that.
You see that what it is? We're still attracted to the woman with the makeup, but we know 90% of the time we're not going to see you that way. So we'd rather see you without the makeup, because that's how we're going to see you, with the head tie up and no makeup and, you know, the dark rings, whatever. Because at home, unless you're one of those women that always put on makeup, wake up and the first thing you put on is makeup. Most of the time, women are just natural.
Natural.
Yeah. True. So a lot of guys hit on women when they are in their natural state, because that's how I'm going to see you 90% of the time, apart from when you're going out or going to work or whatever. So a guy will be attracted to that, because you said that if a guy is attracted to you when you are not dressed up, that's a good thing.
Yes, I agree with that. And that is, I 100% agree with that. that if, you know, if a guy is attracted to you like that, and you're not, you know, sometimes, you know, once you set the bar too high, I'm so sorry, because I remember the first dates, I wouldn't overdress because I'm like, I need this person to see me as I am. I wouldn't go over the top because then I'm setting such a high standard. I'm not saying you can't dress up if you want to, obviously there's special occasions, but if the first thing they've seen you is like full glam, anything less than that will be a problem. Anything less than that will be a problem. So yeah, it's just about finding the person, you know, who loves you in and out, you know, both ways.
That's right. And women, you know, black women and their hair changing. See, I have no problem with it. I actually have no problem with it because it's like you're married to one woman who can become several women in one, the different variety, spice of life. So I have no problem with it. Some guys make a big thing of it. Oh, she must have this or she must have that. I'm like, if it enhances her, and you know, because sometimes people put on pieces onto their head and it just looks wrong. It's like, why? But if it doesn't and it looks nice on them, hey, go for it, girl. I have no problem with it. Some guys are
there's a TikTok video saying, there's a line from a song that switch up my wig, make him feel like he's cheating.
Hey, that's a good one.
Because like every time you have a different, it's like you're another person.
Yeah, it's
like,
true. Oh, it's true.
Now I'm this, I'm that. You know, it's like, let me switch up the wig. So funny. But I think it's beautiful that, you know, we can do whatever we want with our hair. We have the options. We have do wigs bother you, Theo?
No, wigs don't bother me. I said if it enhances, if it makes you look good and it fits you, no problem. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, it's a problem. If you got that wig like that, like the drunken master, you know, the old kung fu master man, and them straw stiff wigs, that's a problem.
Oh gosh! I hear you.
Yeah, but if it just looks natural or it just looks like it belongs, it's fine.
I mean, it's interesting because I remember when we were younger, the only people who used to wear wigs were like our old aunties and things like that. And now, like, wigs are so normal. Yeah, I don't know how, again, the world changes so much because people used to be like, oh, you're wearing a wig. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's normal. We can do so many. I just love the versatility of it. I love braids. I'm not so much of a wig person myself, but I actually want to try and like really grow my hair now. So I want to actually try and be wearing wigs more of the time so I can just leave my own hair alone, let it grow, let it do its thing. So it's just about having the versatility.
I don't mind it.
We also have to be careful. I will never forget that I was filming for a documentary and it was a reconstruction. And I was escaping. In the reconstruction, I was escaping. It was all about human trafficking and human slavery.
Yeah.
And I loved the role. It was such a good, like, juicy role. Mm. And I had to jump into a pool because what happened to the real person in real life, she jumped from a high-story window into a pool outside to escape her traffickers. And I was wearing a wig. Uh-oh. And I don't know why in the life of me I had a wig on with a head wrap scarf
underneath
on top. I don't know why on earth I felt like the scarf would keep the wig from falling off. How did I film when I was filming? How did I jump into the pool and the wig and the scarf, everything came off? And I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my gosh. And there was me. Obviously, they all saw me, but I didn't want to put my head out of the water until I had found the wig to put it back on before I put my head out. And obviously, this is all being filmed. And obviously, it's all, you know, it's white people who probably thought that was my real hair anyway.
They must have been.
I was swimming, holding my breath under the water, trying to find the wig and trying to put it on. Thankfully, I found it and put it on before I emerged out of the water. But obviously, they all saw it.
Of course,
they
must have seen it floating around.
Honestly, you know, us UK people, like, we are, they just pretended like nothing happened. They're like, oh, you're
the
right.
The British,
there,
okay. Make sure you cut that one out, Edward. Cut it out, okay?
Honestly.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh, it was too funny. But, you know, our relationship with our hair is good. And I think it's lovely when we have men who just allow women to, you know, their women to just express themselves. Like, the same way, you know, I think like in Jade and Jason, it's nice the way, you know, we can encourage each other. Like if we're, you know, slacking a bit, we can encourage each other. But everything done in love. In love.
Say that louder. Say that louder. In love. My wife, Mims, I hope you're listening. See, Kathy said in love. You see how Jade was telling the man about he's put on a bit of weight? My wife keeps telling me about my belly.
Aww. Well, you can, okay.
Spent a lot of money on this belly.
With the food you ingest into
That's
it.
Right, yeah. I've earned the right to have a stomach now.
But I think it's good for all of us, like, to kind of, and it's funny because the first thing I noticed with my wedding ring was that as soon as I started to put on weight, I could feel it tighten. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is now like a little cuff that makes me know when I put on weight. So it was locked down and I was like, oh my gosh, no, I need to start walking now because I can feel the weight getting put on. I was like, okay, I need to start walking. So that's my little measurement before my husband tells me anything. But I think it's nice to be able to, you know, keep each other in check. Obviously, life happens, life changes. You know, I think especially when women, you know, have children, their bodies change so much, but they've just done an amazing thing. I don't feel like anybody should be telling women, oh, you need to lose weight, you need to do this. They've just given birth to a baby. But, you know, you do hear of husbands saying, oh, I'm not attracted to her anymore because she put on weight after the baby. I'm like, that's your baby.
Yeah.
That's your baby. Don't you dare. Like, she had that baby. Like, that's your baby. Like, you both had a baby together. And now you're accusing her saying, oh, she's put on too much weight after the baby. Listen, everything in love. There are ways to say this stuff without being accusatory, with doing it in love. I like what Jade did, you know. She said, let's go to the gym together.
Yeah, Jade flipped it and said she didn't like it when it came back at her, which is...
Yes.
But you know what? In relationships...
You give as much as you... As good as you get.
In relationships, as you've been together, like me and my wife's been together for a long time, you're going to change. Mm-hmm. As you get older, your metabolism slows down anyway, naturally.
True.
So you're going to put on a bit of weight. I used to be very much more sporty when I was younger. My wife keeps, you know, alluding to the fact that when she met me, I had a six-pack.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I keep saying to her, who's got time for all of that? I said, you know how much work it is to keep a six pack.
Wow.
I said I ain't doing 200 sit-ups a day. I said you're lucky. I said you're lucky if you get 50, and if I'm in the mood, I'm not. Mm-mm. So I have to find other measures. But yeah, she's always having a go about my stomach, and I don't really care. I said I've earned the right to have a big belly. It's all good.
And she still loves you, right?
Yep.
Good.
From a distance.
Bottom line.
From a distance.
Just get a pen. You know those markers that when they draw on the six packs to make it look like...
Yeah, that's a good idea. I might do that one day.
Once you're married, then, you know, your belly... People take that as a good sign that your wife is looking after you. But my husband's good, to be fair. So far, he's actually working.
You lot are
that's what I'm saying. And he's making sure he's keeping up the exercises.
He's not eating too much of that pounded yam.
He was in a better state before I met him, and he remembers that, oh, you know, I used to have this, I used to have that. So he's trying to get back to that. So I'm just like, yeah, I support you. Do your thing.
Do your thing. It's all better for me. It's all better for me.
You know? I have no objections there. Yeah, so I mean, I think it's no matter how, you know, your wife or your husband is looking, I think it's always important to encourage them, because when you don't have physical confidence, I think, you know, some people say that it can lead to a lack of libido in the bedroom. I have heard that.
It's true. Some people don't feel confident. They don't want to get undressed in front of their partners. You know, they turn off the lights and jump in the bed, and, you know, don't want to be touched, or they don't want to take off their clothes.
Yes.
And, or some people just don't want to do it because they don't feel sexy. Some women don't feel sexy. It goes, I don't feel good, and oh, look, I'm fat, I'm this, I'm that, and the husband's like, it's all good, baby, you're so good, I love you, but no, I don't like it. And the man's the same. Oh, I'm a bit podgy, and my belly's this. Especially if some guys that were, you know, body conscious, you know,
and they knew how they looked at a certain point.
So now
in time,
they've lost that body consciousness. You know, they haven't got the muscles in the places where they used to have the big muscles. Now they're a bit more like, yeah, I don't really feel as sexy, because that's what made them feel sexy was their muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Now they haven't got it, they don't feel as sexy. And women, it was their shape before. Now they've put on a bit of weight, they don't feel as sexy. They're like, no. Own it, man. Own it. If your partner doesn't mind it, own it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I feel like our confidence needs to come internally first.
Yeah.
And when we have that confidence internally, then if we want to change or if we want to work on our bodies, we will. Sometimes just because of that lack of confidence, you just feel, oh, you know, I look like this, or I look like that. It will even stop you from going into a gym because you don't want to work out, because you don't want people to look at your body or see your body there. Do you know what I mean? And I always give huge props when you see big people in the gym, because to be honest, you go into a gym, half the people there are like six packs, everything. They're people who go to the gym regularly. Yeah, yeah. So I can imagine if I was really, really big going into an environment like that, you need your confidence up to be able to, you know,
that's why
I commend people.
That's why a lot of people have enjoyed the lockdown, because they've had all those classes online. They could do it from their front room, their bedroom, wherever they may be. They can work out, do their thing without feeling like everybody's watching them, and the lack of confidence. But you know what? If that's your size, that's your size. You know, be confident as it's about you. Because if you're comfortable with it, everybody else is comfortable with it. It's if you're not comfortable with how you're looking, then other people are not going to be comfortable because they're uncomfortable for you. Because you're not comfortable. I've seen big people who are very happy and they just do their thing. They actually don't care.
Yeah, I have no, you know, objections. Obviously, people, if you want to be healthy, please be healthy. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, live a healthy lifestyle, do your thing. You know, all these things catch up with us eventually. But I just feel like it shouldn't be a problem to just be us and to be happy. Yeah, you know, marriage, you know, having kids, years of marriage and stuff, you can change a bit. That's normal. The main thing is to be happy. Yep. That's what I think.
Yep.
And, you know, even if you aren't content with your appearance, I feel like you can lovingly encourage each other. Make it a date to go running once a week or something.
Yeah,
make it together. Fun. Make it, you know, there's things you can do together.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we should encourage each other to be our best selves. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes my husband's really lenient on me, not necessarily physically. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, I really want to do this. And he'll be like, no, it's fine. Like, you look great. But actually, you know, you can encourage each other if you want to. Do you know what I mean? You can encourage each other. Don't, like, encourage each other in your goals. You're supposed to be partners in purpose. So you can encourage each other with your goals, whether that's physical, whether that's, you know, mental, whether that's projects you're doing. Like, do encourage each other.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to do, because sometimes people don't have the chance to do things, and you don't get a chance to do things together. So you can do it together and make it a thing that you both do it. You go for walks together. You see couples going for walks. And it's a good way you get out of the house for half an hour. Just go for a walk around the block. And you make it a thing. It can become quite attractive because you get to speak to each other in a different light. You're not talking about household stuff or, you know, you're just doing different things and you're getting in some fresh air. Yeah, and it can be nice.
And you can also encourage by doing active things to show, look, I still find you attractive. Do you know what I mean? Like a spouse who wants to turn the lights off, you can be like, no, like, I want to see your body. I love your body the way it is. You know, I want to see your body.
Make them feel,
a husband can buy a wife sexy lingerie.
Buy her some lingerie.
Because that will make anybody feel sexy,
won't
it? It'll just be like, hey.
Of course.
You need confidence to wear it. And again, I think, who knows? But sometimes when you just have it there, just wear it. And fake it till you make it, baby.
Exactly. What do people need to realize? If your husband or your wife's attracted to you, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks or feels. And some women will say, oh, it's about me and it's about this. What does the Bible say? Your body belongs to your husband. And your husband's body belongs to the wife. So the husband's like, I like you like this. Okay, he finds me attractive. And that's the most important person that should find you attractive. It's not about the one down the road or this. It's about the person that you're going to be sleeping with every night, waking up with. If they find you attractive and they still want to see you and touch you, hey, it's all good. Don't worry about what society says or you should be that size. Yes, you could get there for your own health. But along the way, while you're getting there, if your partner's still attracted to you, then don't worry about it, man.
And husbands and wives, encourage your partners. Like I said, I have heard horror stories of certain husbands saying to their partners, oh, you're ugly now that you had the baby. Like, don't do that.
No, that's not nice.
I beg in the name of Christ, like, please do not do that. You know, it's just soul destroying. Yeah, like, definitely. Encourage our partners, love our partners, you know, encourage. So,
Appearance is important, so make sure. But
You know, each and every week here on Naked Love, we get a special guest to give us their thoughts and tips. And this week, we're going to have someone telling us for 60 seconds about appearance. So the clock's on. Tick tock.
My name is Tim Senna. I am a radio presenter from Birmingham, as well as a YouTuber and indie vlogger. I actually recently became single, so I've got an interesting perspective on, I guess, the transition from how you view the importance of your own appearance from being in a long-term relationship. So firstly, things like personal hygiene, making sure you shower regularly, and the fact that you're in a relationship doesn't mean you think you don't have to look after yourself in a basic way. Obviously, that for me is the bar. You should always be clean. However, if they're then not happy with you when you're not wearing full makeup or when you're not literally looking in your finest, then that is a situation where, for me, it might make you feel uncomfortable and cross a boundary. Because if you're going to be in a relationship with someone, they need to be comfortable with you when you're most comfortable with yourself. And I don't think I've met many people who are most comfortable with themselves when they are made up through a routine that might take 3 hours.
Thank you for those top tips.
Thank you. Very important.
So yes, hope you were listening to those tips and taking them on board. It can change your whole relationship. Love each other, man.
So that has been our discussion on appearance, guys. You know, appearance is important, but our love is more important. And who we are on the inside is even more important. So I hope, you know, that has been a blessing to you. And we are now going to go on to the listener question.
Listener question. Okay. If you want to get in touch with us, just go to studio2@premier.org.uk. Studio2@premier.org.uk. And just call us, Auntie Kathy and Uncle Theo, and we'll be here to try our best to answer your dilemmas, questions, inquiries, whatever it may be. So this week, we have a question. It says, I've been in a wonderful, loving Christian relationship for 4 years. I'm still only 21, feel too young to get married, but I'm starting to find it really difficult to remain in my chastity. What should I do? My boyfriend is a Christian and he's feeling the same pressure. Should we get married young, have sex outside of marriage, or split up? It is becoming too difficult. Thank you. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Wow, that is a tough one.
I think you need to answer that one.
Why me?
I need Jesus, remember. I need Jesus.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, one thing I would say is you are too young to get married in the eyes of who?
Mm.
That's a question I would ask. True. I would like to ask. You know, it says, you say you feel, oh, I'm too young to get married. I feel like society has changed a lot. People used to get married very young.
Mm.
There's still societies and places, especially in like America and things, where people do get married, you know, very young still.
Yeah.
So why do you have the thought that, oh, you're too young to get married? If you guys really care about each other, if you really do, you know, love each other, if you believe that this is someone, you know, God has called you to spend the rest of your life with, there's no age to start saying, no. Okay, you know, this is when I can get married. It is a difficult one, because the more you're with somebody, the longer you're with them, you're going to want to express your love in all possible ways, physically, know, mentally. You're going to want to do everything. You want to express them and you want to take it to the next level.
Mm.
But again, you know, sometimes we just have to not put ourselves in these situations. And that's what the Bible says, you know, if you cannot hold yourself, get married. If you want to go strictly by what, you know, the book I think it's Galatians or Ephesians that says, if you can't, Paul says it, if you can't hold yourselves, you should get married.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to hold yourselves, then remove yourself from the situation. I know you've been with him for 4 years, you know, but one, I feel like, who says you're too young to get married?
You've been together a long time.
Yeah, and you have been together for a long time. So, what do you think, Theo?
No, it's true. If you've been together for a long time, and you're right, if you've been together and you get on and you actually got each other's back, and as we said, the foundation is you lot attracted to each other mentally, physically. He's supporting you, you're supporting him, you're young, you're growing together. What's the problem?
God is in it.
So what's the problem? There isn't a problem. It's just society puts things on problem, and we're not part of the world. We're focusing on Christ. So if you're going to focus on Christ and saying that you're Christian, then stick to the Christian principles. You're in Christ. Christ is within you. So there shouldn't be anything wrong. Not saying that your relationship will be perfect, but you don't know. Nobody knows. So you've been together for 4 years. That's a long time.
Yeah,
It's a long time, man. Go for it.
Yeah, and it's about how you guys feel in yourself. Yeah. Do you guys feel mature? Do you guys feel that, you know, you have this consciousness to make this decision? Because I feel like if you feel ready to get married, if you feel like, you know, this is who I want to get married to.
Go for it.
You know?
Go for it. Age is nothing but a number.
Tell me about it.
There's no point in separating or doing something, sleeping together or whatever, and then feeling, regretting it.
Exactly. And that could actually be the cause of your breakup. Yeah. If you do go ahead, that could actually be the cause, because the guilt could just, you just, maybe you won't even be able to look at each other anymore. And then you actually do break up. So, you know, or you could decide to, you know, think, okay, let's just go on a break. Let's go on a pause. Let's pray. Let's really seek, are we each other's husband and wives? Let's see what God is saying. Do you know what I mean? Let's, you know, pray about it, pray about it, but try and remove yourself from that situation. But I know, you know, when you love somebody, you love somebody. And it will get tougher and tougher the longer you remain in that situation, girlfriend. So I hope that answers your question. If you guys have any other questions, remember, if you have any dilemmas, that was, I'm actually still thinking about that. I'm thinking, am I giving a good enough answer? I hope it's giving you food for thought, if anything. Just have a think about it. Like, have a think. Who says, you know, you're too young? But anyway, if you guys have any other dilemmas, we can help you with yours as well. Just email us at studio2@premier.org.uk or send us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Premier Gospel.
Amen to that. So no matter what we talk about here, it's always good to wrap it up in a prayer. So we'll always say a short prayer just to sign and seal and relate to this discussion. Dear merciful God, we give you thanks and we give you praise for another opportunity to discuss relationships, Lord, which has been ordained and destined from you, Lord. Lord, I just want to give you thanks and praise that we're able to go forward, Lord, and blessing us with appearances, Lord, that we take pride in our appearance and take love in our, as we communicate with each other about our appearances, Lord. If we're in a relationship or we're not in a relationship, just with our friends, Lord, that we take time to understand each other, Lord. Lord, as we go forward, Lord, we ask you just to bless and guide us in your own unique way, Lord. Continue to bless us as we do this podcast, Lord, and we continue to be open and honest as much as possible, Lord, that you are in midst of us, Lord, and you guide us as we talk and as we do things, Lord. In your precious and merciful name, we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, it's been another amazing week on the Naked Love podcast. Thank you for tuning in, everybody.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Everybody, for all of your feedback. Please share the podcast, rate the podcast. If you're watching on any of those podcast sites, please rate us, give us those 5 stars. You know how we do. No pressure. But yeah, we love seeing your feedback. And I see some of the reviews as well. So please keep sharing, keep spreading the word. And you guys know, if you love gospel music, you can hear the podcast mixed with great music every Sunday night on Premier Gospel from 9 p.m. Thanks for listening, guys, and catch you next week.
Catch you next week. Ciao. We out.
Ciao, ciao.
The Naked Love Podcast with Theo Manderson
and Kaffee, aka A Cup of Kaffee.